So let's open today with our lesson out of our book that we're studying called Habits of Grace. So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, I pray this morning that you would get our attention through your word, that you would speak to us individually this morning. Just cup our face in your hand. Call us to follow Jesus. Call us to follow him carefully. Call us to follow him intentionally. Call us to make a commitment in our hearts, God, not to just give him a place on the shelf in our life, but to give our whole life to him and let everything flow out of our relationship with him. We love you this morning. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for grace. Grace that is new and fresh and abundant every morning we open our eyes. Father, we pray this morning for our sister Ruby Nan. We pray for her husband. God, I pray that you will meet their every need. I pray, Father, that you will comfort and that you will heal. And now this morning as we study, give us attentive hearts. Help us to come here expecting to meet with you, expecting to have you speak into our lives. And we thank you that you're willing to do that through your Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we welcome you in our lives. You are our teacher. You are our guide. You are the one who takes our prayers and makes them acceptable. And you pray for us with groanings that are extremely deep. And so, Father, just pray this day in the church, in this place, will yield much fruit in our lives, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're eking our way through this book. Yes, eking, because we're going extremely slow. We're going at a snail's pace. But that's because we want to squeeze everything out. I love focusing on the grace of God through this day. It's on. Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, in my own life personally, I feel like grace has just become a highlighted word lately in my spiritual journey. Are you like that in your spiritual walk? You know, it's like one subject will just pop up everywhere. You know, you'll hear somebody talk about it, and then you'll go somewhere else, and there it is again. And it's just like a repeated theme in your life, and I feel like that is happening to me with grace. Really and truly, the Christian life, it's all about grace, isn't it? It's just all about grace. It's about grace completely. Let's write it on our handout this way. The Christian life is all about being grace sufficient. I like that term. Grace sufficient. And I mean by that, the fact that it's all by his beautiful, amazing, wonderful, freely given grace that God supplies us with everything we need. It's actually the key to living a victorious Christian life. Now, either you will be self-sufficient. You know, can a Christian be self-sufficient? Well, they can. I mean, what I'm saying is you can say, you know, I can do this myself, and you can burn out. You won't have joy. If you're going to get in your own flesh, do it in your own flesh, that's going to restrict you. So either you'll be self-sufficient or you'll come to a new level of understanding of living by grace. Because listen to me. You and I, in our flesh, do not have what it takes to live a victorious Christian life. The only way we will be overcomers in this life will happen through the grace of God that's given to us. Now, I'm loving focusing on the ways, the pathways for us to dive deeper into the grace of God. Let's write them down. We've been exploring three pathways. What's the first one? We get grace by being in the Word of God. So put that down. We also receive grace through another thing, through prayer. So write that down. And last week, I introduced to you the third pathway to grace, and it's fellowship. So write that down. It's listed in the book this way in the third section, belonging to the body of Christ. Now, starting today and several lessons to come, we're going to be learning about different aspects of body life, of being in the body of Christ, of being in the church together, fellow members. You know, fellowship, I heard it said this way one time, it's two fellows in a ship. They're together. They're together in something. You and I are together in Christ. So we're going to be seeing how you and I become actual pipelines of God's grace to each other. I think this is something we need to really learn about. I think this is something we really need to focus on. I think it's something that we do well to work at and to talk about together. And I'm praying that God is going to open our eyes to see how important being in the body together is. It's a chief means of grace in our lives, and it is not to be neglected. If we're going to have a vibrant, healthy church that has a powerful testimony in the world. Well, let's start with a little review of what I said last week. I introduced this study last week. The Greek word for fellowship is, and I have no idea if I'm saying it right, koinonia. It's more than having a potluck meal together and hanging out together. I put it on your handout what koinonia meant to the early church. It was an all-in, life-or-death collective venture in the face of great evil and in the face of overwhelming opposition. And last week we said it was more like invading troops landing on the beaches of Normandy in the summer of 1944, storming the German enemy. That's what it's more like. We saw in the book of Acts last week how the early church was devoted to three things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Well, that would be our New Testament. They were devoted to prayer. And then they were devoted to fellowship. And here we are. We're in 2026. And guess what? Those same three things are still what you and I are to be devoted to. The early church had a fellowship that was anchored in the fact that they had all been placed in Jesus. They were all partakers of the Holy Spirit. They were all heirs together in a divine inheritance. They actually shared everything in common. They understood there was no prejudice in Christ. I mean, it didn't matter if you were Jew or Greek. It didn't matter if you were male or female. It didn't matter if you were a slave or a master. It didn't matter if you were rich or if you were poor. I've heard it said like this, the ground around the cross is level ground. Amen. They all participated together for the sake of the gospel. They were close. They defended it. They shared it. They lived it out together. And they had a deep love for one another. Now, we directed our attention last week to two mountain peaks of Scripture out of Hebrews. I think they bear repeating. Look on your handout. Let's go to the first mountain peak out of chapter 10, 24 and 25. And there it says, and this is just some of my favorite verses. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is just a remarkable passage for us. That's why I wanted to read it again. Because as the body of Christ, we must not neglect meeting together. We've got to get to know one another. We need to get close with each other. We need to work at it. We need to stay close. We need to go deep. We need to interact, and we need to do it in such a way that we're inspiring each other to live lives full of love and good deeds. And we just taste here in these verses how powerful and how personal fellowship is as a means of grace. The other mountain peak comes in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Let's read it. Verses 12 and 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we see through that verse, you see there's such protection in being in the body. And as we're in the body together, it is our responsibility to keep each other from drifting, to meditate and mediate grace to the one who's struggling, bringing them words of truth and grace to their ears, praying for them. You see, a shepherd would have his staff, and his staff would be a standard that the sheep could see, and they would follow that staff. But then he had a rod. And the rod would pull, it had a crook on it, and it would pull any drifting sheep back onto the path. And that's the picture. You see, the body becomes the rod of rescue, bringing in wayward sheep. The body is solid gold, solid gold. So here we are. We have Christ in common. We are all in Christ together. We are in a relationship. And another way to say it, we looked at it last week, was that we're in the new covenant together. We've pledged our allegiance to Christ, and not only to Christ, but to the rest of his body, which is the church. We're committed members. We're serving together right here in First Baptist. It's a local outpost for the kingdom of God right here in Brookhaven. And we have allegiance to each other. We treat each other with respect. We treat each other carefully, thoughtfully, lovingly, sacrificially. We do it with wisdom, with knowledge of each other. And we closed last week's lesson with reasons why we should join and commit to fellowship in a Bible preaching, Bible teaching, Bible-believing local church. And if you missed that lesson, I put on your handout the website you can go to listen to it. And now for today, I want us to talk about one very precious means of grace of body life. And that grace is the art of listening well. Listening is something that is actually becoming lost in our generation. Everyone has their eyes on their screens. I mean, just go into any restaurant, go into any waiting room, go in. Yesterday I was riding on my street, and there's a walker, and she's walking like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's gonna fall down. She's walking on her screen. And usually you also have your earbuds in your ear. But listen to me. If we're going to be a body, okay, listening is essential. It's essential. It serves the body. It's a way that grace enters into your life. It's a means of grace both to us as people listen to us and to others as we listen to them. Now think about it with me. How hard is it, really, how hard is it to listen to someone? It's actually one of the easiest things you'll ever do. But let's write it this way. Hearing is easy, but listening is hard. Hearing is easy, but listening is hard. It demands, when you just listen, when you just hear someone, you know, it's not hard because it doesn't demand you take initiative and energy that's required in speaking. But write this down. Hearing is actually how we were saved. We were saved because we heard the gospel. It entered into our ears. Look at Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. We're saved by the hearing with faith. Now, Paul asked the Galatians. He said this in Galatians 3:2. Look at it on your handout. He said, did you receive the Spirit? In other words, did you get saved? Was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 5, does he who provides you with the Spirit in salvation and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer is, we're not saved by any works we do. It is all by hearing the gospel and mixing that hearing with faith. And Ephesians 2 says, even that faith to believe was a gift given to you by God. Faith accents the achievements of Christ. And so hearing is the channel of grace that starts the whole thing in Christian living. So hearing is easy, but here's the deal. In our flesh, in our sin, we often fight against it, and that's because, you know what? We'd rather trust in ourselves than another. We'd rather gather our own righteousness than receive another's righteousness. We'd rather speak our own mind rather than listen to someone else. But when we hear the gospel and we believe it and it's mixed with faith, we're saved. So salvation comes through hearing. Hearing and listening is important. It's a means of grace. Now let's talk about it. Let's learn some active listening skills this morning. We're going to begin with a very key verse. It comes in James 1, verse 19. Look at it with me. This you know, my beloved brethren and sistren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Let's write out that very simple principle given for Christians. What's the first thing? Be quick to hear. Write that down. Be slow to speak, and then be slow to. So simple. Wow, that is so simple. Well, thank you, Teresa. Now I'm going to just walk out of here and do this. Because that is so simple. It is not hard for me to understand at all. I was visiting with a young mom yesterday, and we were talking about this very thing. And she said, I just want to be this kind of mother. I don't like to get ruffled. I just want to be calm. I want, you know, all of that. She said, but I can't do it. I just can't do it. She said, I find myself getting so frustrated. And see, that's what I'm saying. It sounds so simple, but living it out, it's actually nearly impossible to live out. Well, let me just say this. Learning to listen well won't happen overnight. It's going to require some discipline on our parts, some effort, some intentionality. So becoming a better listener depends on you becoming, first of all, resolved to develop a habit in your life of learning to focus and listen to particular people in specific moments. Now, this is something you and I all need to grow in. Let's write down some lessons in good listening skills. Here's the first thing I want us to talk about. Listening is one of the highest forms of affirmation, because when you listen to someone, you are inviting another person to exist. When you put down your phone, when you give them your face, when you focus when they are talking, you are communicating to them you matter. You matter to me. You are of great worth. Now, that is a very simple act, but it carries such a powerful punch. Just try it. Just try when you have an interaction, put away the distraction, give the person your face, and listen. And just listen. When you do this, it acknowledges their personhood. Now, Jesus was a master at this. There he was. I'm pulling this story out of Mark 10. He and his disciples were in Jericho. They had been there for a while. Great miracles. Everything was happening. Huge crowds all around Jesus. Time for them to leave. He and his disciples walk out of Jericho through the gate. They're going on a road to their next place. Everybody is following them. Huge crowd following them. And wouldn't you know it, sitting right down the road as they were traveling was a man seated by the side of the road. His name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. He was really a pitiful man. He sat by the road and he begged every day because that's all he could do. And he heard the commotion. And as he heard the commotion, he realized this was Jesus walking toward him. And he knew about Jesus. And he started yelling in a loud voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, the crowd just yelled right back at him, "Shut up, you old beggar. You don't matter. Be quiet. Why, you're just a pitiful old blind man." But the Bible says he did not shut up. He even yelled louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then this beautiful verse. Look at it on your handout. Verse 49. And Jesus stopped. You see, Jesus heard him. He heard him. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Can you even begin to imagine the thrill that was in his heart when he heard those words? Well, the Bible says he jumped up. He leapt up. And they led him to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, I want to see," said the blind man. And instantly he could see. And the Bible says he followed him down the road. You bet he did. Now here's what I want to say. Jesus was not in a rush. Jesus was always in the moment. We can learn from him this morning, ladies. We need to learn to recognize our opportunities. And they may be as simple as giving another person, listen to me, a listening ear. We strengthen each other through good listening. I'm going to tell you, it is a gift to listen to other people. Early on in our marriage, when Bill was working, he was so busy. He was a busy person. But he told his secretary, he said, "Look, no matter what I'm doing, if Teresa calls, you have permission to interrupt me for any reason. Just interrupt me for any reason." That's just such a powerful affirmation to me of his love. Here's the second point I want you to put down. Avoid listening with half an ear. Avoid listening with half an ear. We do that all the time. Someone's talking. We assume we already know what they have to say. We turn them off. We aren't listening attentively. We're only waiting for our chance to jump into the conversation. We know exactly where that person's going, and we just turn him off, and we start thinking about our own response, our own stories. Or maybe we're happier because our attention is divided by something that's happening around us. Why, I just got a text. It's right there on my watch, and I felt to go, bzzz. I'm like, "I got a text." You know, I get distracted. Why is it that text is so darn important? It's usually some crazy something from the school. Or maybe you're thinking about that next thing on your to-do list that you need to get going, you know. There are many times we're just too preoccupied with ourselves when we're listening. And so that doesn't give a really good listening opportunity for that person. Let's write this down. Good listening then requires being in with both ears. It means you're going to have to concentrate, girls. You're going to have to hear the person out till he's done. You've got to listen all the way to the caboose until the train goes over the tracks. Good listening will put away the smartphone. Good listening won't stop them in the middle of their story. Good listening will be attentive and patient. Good listening will mean physically I'll be externally relaxed, but internally I'm active, I'm thinking, I'm engaging. It takes energy, ladies, to block out distractions that are bombarding you. It's going to take spirit-powered grace to help us to be slow to speak, quick to listen. Now, number four, good listening is an act of love. Have you ever heard of a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer? He's a wonderful man. His biography is incredible. He was a German pastor and a German theologian who stood firmly for Christ in the face of Germany's Nazi evil regime. And it cost him his life in a concentration camp. But he wrote a wonderful book called Life Together. Here's a quote out of that book. I'm going to be giving you several quotes out of his book. Here's the first one. Here's what he says. Half-eared listening despises the brother and is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus get rid of the other person. What an interesting thing. You see, poor listening rejects. Write that on your handout. Did I put this on your handout? Poor listening rejects. It's actually a form of rejection. Good listening embraces. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you're not even near through, you're telling, and all of a sudden they're distracted and they're gone. And then you think, well, has that happened to you? That happens to me a lot. Because you know what? It takes me so long to get it out. But it's an actual form of rejection. But when somebody gives me their attention and I don't feel like they're in a hurry, that is a real embrace. All right, let's write something else down. Poor listening diminishes others, but good listening invites others to exist, to matter, to exist, to matter. Yes. Have you ever felt invisible? Nobody really wants to hear me. I have. Let's hear Bonhoeffer again. Listen to this quote. Just as love to God begins with the listening to His word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. Listening is such a powerful way to communicate love. Let's let Paul help us out of Philippians this morning to see that good listening goes hand in hand with the mindset of Christ, with the attitude of Jesus. Look at verse 3, chapter 2. It says there, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. You see, good listening is going to come out of a humble heart that counts others as being important. You're significant. In fact, you're more important than myself. I'm going to put you above myself. And then look at verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. You see, it's not all about me. And also 1 Corinthians 13 says this about good listening, about love. Love is patient, love is kind. Let's write another thing down. Good listening asks open-ended questions. How are you? Fine. Did you have a good weekend? Yes. You going to school tomorrow? Yes. Everybody good? Yes. You want to ask questions that can't be answered with yes or no. You want to ask open-ended questions. Questions that are going to cause the other person to peel off layers from the onion and open up what's underneath. Bill and I do this all the time because we're old, we're so boring. And so we say, okay, we're going to be with this couple or this person or this grandchild or this whatever. And we'll say, now what questions can we ask? We want to have good conversation. Well, I've even asked ChatGPT before. Give me some good questions. He's really good. We do it all the time. And then, of course, when we get in the situation, we can't remember the questions. But good listening watches carefully also for nonverbal communication. But it won't interrogate. It doesn't pry into details that the person isn't comfortable sharing. But it does very gently listen, very gently seek to draw another person out of their shell in order to get fresh perspectives, to come to know another person heart to heart for the purpose of fellowship. And you can do it through asking genuine leading questions. Jesus did this so well in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. He was not in a rush. He sat down with her and he initiated a dialogue with her. And he asked carefully crafted questions that ultimately led to her salvation. And she was actually the first person that he revealed to that he was the Messiah. The Proverbs are filled with good counsel that can help us. Let's look at a few. Go on your handout to Proverbs 18:2. It says there, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Well, you want to be a fool? Just talk about yourself all the time and reveal your own mind. I like how the Living Bible says it. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. I read a quote from a former senator, S.I. Hayakawa of California. Listen to what he said. Listening requires entering actively and imaginatively into another person's situation and trying to understand a frame of reference different from your own. End quote. To do this, it means you're going to have to fight distractions. And you're going to have to talk to yourself, what is it they're saying? I'm going to ask myself these questions. What does he or she mean? Let's go to another proverb. Proverb 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. And look at the Living Bible. Spouting off before listening to the facts is shameful and foolish. But I love Proverbs 25. Look at it. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. You see, a person with listening skills has the ability to bless people, to be a means of grace by drawing out of others the deep waters that are in their heart. How refreshing is it to be with a person who has skill like this? What a blessing to be with someone who listens well. Do you have someone in your life who does this? Let's add another one. Good listening is a ministry. Put that on your handout. I think it's number 6. Let's go to Bonhoeffer one more time out of his book, Life Together. He says this, listening can be a greater service than speaking. And then a quote from our book by David Mathis. I love this. I'm just going to write that down. There may be days when the most important ministry we do is square our shoulders to some hurting person, uncross our arms, lean forward, make eye contact, and hear their pain all the way to the bottom. I love that. Here are a few tips to do that. Put more emphasis on affirmation than on giving answers. Listen with compassion. Often a person can be ministered to deeply by just having someone who will listen to him seriously. It's a ministry of caring. Let's add another one, number 7. I gotta hurry. Good listening prepares us to speak well. Now, for sure, there are some times when you listen that it ministers best by you just being quiet. I loved an example of that very thing that I read this week. I want to read it to you. This was an example given by a young missionary, and she was experiencing burnout. Here's what she said. She said, "One morning I was having tea with a close friend of mine who had come home from the mission field. In the security of her love, I opened up. I told her of a deep struggle I was experiencing. 'I feel so alone,' I said. My eyes were filling with tears. 'Why, it's as if God isn't there.' She listened. Then she slipped her hand over mine. She gently squeezed it. Her eyes were moist with compassion. And she just quietly said, 'He's there.'" That was her only response. No theological arguments. No, you shouldn't feel that way, condemnation. Somehow she knew my doubts would pass and that I just simply needed the safety to express myself. You see, listening sometimes is all that is needed to diffuse emotions that a person has that are part of the problem. So sometimes listening only listens, but typically good listening readies itself to minister words of grace to precisely the place where the other is in need. Now let's hear Bonhoeffer one more time. He said this, "We should listen with the ears of God that we may speak the word of God." A good listener resists being defensive. A good listener listens in a non-judgmental way. And a good listener trains himself not to formulate opinions or responses until he's heard the full account. Listening helps others to clarify their thoughts. When you're listening this way, you're helping other people untangle their thoughts, giving them time to process. I do this with Bill all the time because, you know, men want to just fix it. And so I'll say, "Now, Bill, this situation," I say, "now look, I don't want you to tell me how to fix it. I don't need that. I just want you to hear it. I just need to express what I'm feeling. I need to express what I'm going through here." And of course, then I'll say, "Well, what do you think I should do?" But as you listen, you encourage that other person to continue talking. It's a gift. It's a gift that says, "You matter. You matter to God and you matter to me." Well, Teresa, I really want to improve. Let's write down a few ways to improve and then we'll be done. I got to hurry. I've got 2 minutes. One of the best ways to learn to listen is to study the life of Jesus. So put that down. Get in the Gospels. Watch him. Watch him and see. Now, I'm going to watch Jesus as I read the Gospels this time to see how he listened to others. How did he draw others out? How did he meet their real needs? Also, number 2, go to the Proverbs. The Proverbs are an excellent source of advice on listening. I've given you several Proverbs this morning. But go through Proverbs for yourself for the purpose of underlining verses that apply to listening. Number 3, memorize verses on listening. I'm going to give you one more here to add to the other ones that I've already given you in our lesson. It's Isaiah 54. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Pray over these verses that we've looked at. Ask God to give you ears that hear and a tongue that refreshes the weary. They're everywhere. Number 8, listening is a skill that is mastered little by little. Progress may be slow. I think just being aware of it is the beginning. I want to be a good listener. Here's another suggestion. Reflect through your day, through your week, through your encounters with other people, in the office, in the marketplace, on your phone, at lunch. Learn to make mental notes of situations where you could have communicated better. You could have listened better. Revisit those conversations mentally. And in your mind, rephrase questions you wished you had asked. And then that prepares you for the next time. A caring heart takes time and seeks to learn and listen. I want to close with this. A fourth grade teacher asked her class, "What is listening?" After a few moments of silence, one little girl raised her hand. "Listening," she said, "is wanting to hear." And that's what we want to do. May the Lord make us women who want to hear. Amen. Take this lesson. Get those scriptures. Meditate on those scriptures. And next week, be intentional with your ears as you go into your world. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this means of grace. Here we are sitting right in the middle of the body of Christ. May we listen to each other well. May we minister to each other well. God, help us to hone our skills in body life. Help us to become means of grace that are going to give grace to hearers in every circle that we're in. May we not gossip. May we not slander. May we not share other people's stories that aren't ours to share. But may we minister and use only words that build up the hearer. Help us to think of questions to draw our sisters into a deeper walk together as we serve here in Brookhaven in this body. In this church. Father, may we take this lesson to heart. I pray that it would impact us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you don't want to miss next week. We're going to learn some more.